Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Amen. Man thrown into a ditch, sold to traders, sent to Egypt, becomes powerful, and then sees his brothers who hurt him years later. What if the Bible was a Western? What if Jesus was instead John Wayne? Neither weeping nor crying out at the cross, but taking down centurions one by one, peeling himself off of that cross and sparring with his enemies until he outlasted every one of them, standing alone and victorious. What if Jesus returned to Bethlehem as one of those spaghetti Western desperados might, a shirt tattered and dirtied, with mud and blood and spittle, not rejected, but celebrated by his own people? What if the Bible was a Western? It may sound silly, but what is more quintessentially American than the Western? What also satiates our itch for justice, for redemption, for leadership, and ultimately, as we best understand it, for peace, than those visions of John Wayne or Clint Eastwood under a blood-red sun? What else do we know about heroes than the victory and justice is earned by strength always, and if necessary, by force? I'm always amazed by the literary depth of our Hebrew Bible in particular. There's something about its characters, about its stories, its themes, and its claims that speak to what is most constitutional to our very humanity. When I am lost in its intricate sagas, its betrayals and triumphs, close and disorienting encounters with God, I almost feel as if I'm immersed within God's own little Western. Most recently, these Hebrew Bible selections, of course, have dealt with familial strife, mainly in the form of the archetypal sibling rivalry. First, we read of Cain and Abel, and then of Jacob and Esau, and now, today and last Sunday, both, we have listened to bits and pieces of Joseph's feud with his own brothers. Joseph was, of course, his father's favorite. It seems that these stories often begin that way. We are told that his father expresses this favor in gifting Joseph a long coat of many colors. On one occasion, Joseph tells his brothers of two dreams that feature the family bowing before him. Over the years, the brothers' anger and jealousy mounts until finally they plot to kill Joseph. One day when Joseph wanders off in search of his brothers and their flock of sheep, they whisper to one another as he approaches, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Rather than kill him, the brothers ultimately decide to sell Joseph to a group of Ishmaelite traders who they pass along the way, and the traders take Joseph with them to Egypt. What if the Bible was a Western? Then how then would this story end? What would success look like for Joseph? What would glory look like? Perhaps he would be long forgotten by his brothers before riding back into town and taking the vengeance that we are all so led to believe that they deserved. Perhaps Joseph would pay them back 100-fold. Perhaps we would feel vindicated by Joseph's unexpected and yet triumphant act of frontier justice. Though the notion of reimagining the Bible seems preposterous, its stark contrast to the themes of the actual, real, and not John Wayne translation of the Bible tells us something about ourselves and about the culture that we are so steeped in. The stories that permeate our culture tell us very specific stories about power, about success, and perhaps most importantly, about what justice looks like. Joseph fortunately tells us a different story. After being picked up by traitors, he makes his way to Egypt and he works as a servant for someone in the Pharaoh's court. After a string of unfortunate events, he is unjustly thrown in prison where he eventually becomes known for his prophetic interpretation of dreams. When the Pharaoh has an unfortunate and troubling dream one evening of seven lean cows devouring seven large cows and of seven ears of corn that are withered devouring seven large ears, Pharaoh's advisors bring him to none other than Joseph. Joseph famously prophesies that they will see 7 years of bountiful harvest followed by 7 years of painful famine. And he recommends that they store surplus grain in silos so that they will be nourished in these seven lean years. This interpretation not only gets Joseph out of prison, but lands him a spot as a high-ranking official under the Pharaoh. After 7 years, when the famine does indeed come, it was so severe that travelers from faraway lands came to procure some of the bounty that existed in Egypt due to Joseph's foresight. Those who were in need dealt directly with Joseph. And in the second year of the famine, his brothers were so hungry. Their father Jacob lamented, "There is grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us so that we might live and not die." But Jacob's now most favored son, Benjamin, did not join the rest of his brothers, being that he was Joseph's only full brother. The rest indeed were half brothers. He was to be protected by Jacob, who feared having to mourn the loss of yet another son. So all of the half-brothers journey into Egypt. They approach Joseph, not recognizing him, because of course they assume he's dead. And what do you think that they do? Being that he is now very powerful, they bow before him. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Joseph recognizes them, but he conceals this, and he treats them at first very harshly, even accusing them of being spies. After 3 days, he releases all but one of them and asks that they retrieve their brother Benjamin to come to Egypt. After all, they said they had another brother who had not come with them, and if they are telling the truth, that brother can come, and it'll prove that they aren't spies. If they cannot bring Benjamin, they will be put to death. Even though the brothers don't recognize Joseph, they attribute their current misfortune to their previous misdeeds, and they cry out, "Alas, we are paying the penalty for what we did to our brother. We saw his anguish when he pleaded with us, but we would not listen. This is why this anguish has come upon us, and so now there is a reckoning for his blood." What if the Bible was a Western? It's getting pretty close. But here's the turn. They were saying all of this in front of Jacob, or of Joseph, rather. They thought that he spoke a different language than they did. And so they spoke openly. Joseph remembers his own anguish when he hears this. He recognizes their own fear, and he turns away, and he weeps in sorrow. The brothers leave to fetch Benjamin, much to their father Jacob's dismay, and again head to Egypt in search of sustenance, fearing for their lives. It is under these very circumstances that we encounter Joseph in today's reading from Genesis 45. We encounter a family on the very precipice of destruction. We encounter the grief of a father, the shame of Joseph's brothers, and the deep woundedness that permeates Joseph. The expectation, of course, is clear. The brothers expect their own sins to be repaid 100-fold indeed. And yet, upon seeing his family and upon laying his eyes on his brother Benjamin, something unexpected happens. Joseph is overcome. He whispers to his brothers, "Come closer to me." A risk indeed. But they do. "I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because it is not you who sold me here. God sent me here before you to preserve life. And we end the verse hearing, then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that, his brothers talked with him. What if this had all been a Western? But the good news is that it's not. The good news, of course, though it sounds silly, is that what we have here in Scripture consistently flies in the face of those things that we expect, and even those things that we have grown to admire in our culture, in the ways that we understand power and justice and strength. The Bible takes those and turns it on its head. Strength and justice does not come in a blaze of glory. Strength and justice comes in the midst of forgiveness. Strength and justice comes in the midst of being undone, of Joseph sending away the court and crying upon his brother's shoulders. Justice comes in their flow of tears and in their reunion. So may we show forth this same ethic in our world today. May we forgive those who have wronged us as best as we know how. May we love our God and walk humbly. And may our sense of justice be much like Joseph's. Amen.